came to me and he said, Joe, I have a wonderful opportunity for you. There is an emerging company, and I know this is going to be very big someday. Why don't you take $10,000, $20,000 and invest in it? It will be great for your retirement. He said, even if you don't have the money, let's move some money around from other accounts of retirement that you have and put it into this company. Well, I didn't do it. Not because I didn't trust my friend. Not because I didn't believe that this company will someday will be great. I didn't do it because of procrastination. And I paid dearly for that. The stocks of Apple Computer, when my friend came to me, were $10. If I put $20,000, I will be worth $10 million today. I would be spending my winters in the French Riviera, eating exotic food and traveling all over the world. But now I have to struggle with the winters of Michigan. Not that I am complaining. I'm just stating the facts. The same individual came to me later on, and he said to me, United Airlines stocks are selling for $1. Invest in it. It is going to be great for your retirement. I said to him, well, let's wait a couple more days. Maybe there would be half a dollar. I was too greedy. I did not take the opportunity that was given to me. I would be a millionaire today, but I missed it. Now you will say to me, well, you still have your health, you still have a wonderful job. It's only money, and I agree with you, it's only money. But what about if you miss the opportunity of a lifetime? What about if you miss something of eternal significance? The stakes are much higher in this case. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it's really amazing to me to know that you, the King of the whole universe, is here with us. Thank you for your presence here. You are a wonderful and awesome and a great God. We love you. Lord, I did my best to prepare for this sermon, but the power, the influence, the effectiveness only come from you. And my desire is that we will never leave this place the same as when we came in. Lord, change us and mold us. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to take you with me on a journey to Palestine. We are going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed and killed, crucified on the cross. So he takes his 12 disciples with him, and then he will leave them at the entrance of the garden, and then he takes three of them into a kind of like an inner circle inside the garden, and he asked them to pray with him. And then he went even a little bit further away from them. He asked them to stay awake and pray while he was praying by himself. He prayed, he agonized with God, and then he came to the disciples, and they were asleep. He went back again to pray. This time, according to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, it says that the pain was so intense, God sent an angel to comfort him. And that the agony with the devil was so intense that he sweat blood. He came back again to the disciples. They were asleep. The first time he woke them up. The second time he left them asleep. The third time he went to pray, came back, woke them up, and told them about the betrayal. Now notice an interesting thing. The first lesson I like to share with you of this story is that the disciples had the opportunity of a lifetime to watch Jesus fight the devil, have courage to carry the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. They could have seen him not run away, but be there in respect and in honor of the will of his Father. And they missed all of these opportunities. They missed the opportunity to grow in character and to become more and more like Jesus. I don't know how many times an opportunity like this will come to us. But sometimes it will come and go and will never come back again. When I was taking engineering at Walla Walla College, for our senior project, we had to go to Portland, Oregon to see some factories over there and watch and learn how they do it. One of them was a factory that made a seamless tube. And I went over there and I watched it. And I see this molten serpent of steel. It was in thousands of temperature being melted down. And then it comes down like a snake. And there would be a machine that will grab it. And then it will spin it till it will open from the inside and will be blameless and seamless open tube. I asked the engineer, I said, what is the most important thing in the process of making this seamless tube? He said, it's the temperature. He said, if it is too hot, it will fly away. If it is too cold, it will never open. He said, we call this the molten moment. It's something that will happen only once. I don't know what will constitute a molten moment for you. Maybe the sermon today that will drive you to grow in character, that will drive you to become more like Jesus. Maybe you're suffering, maybe some personal problems or issues that you are struggling with. Maybe it's a song that you heard today, maybe a class you're going to go to. Don't miss the opportunity to grow in character. Watch Jesus and learn from him. A few weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't go back to sleep. So I went to the television and I started watching television. But I heard the voice of God saying to me, "You are wasting the opportunity of a lifetime. I did not wake you up in the middle of the night so you could watch television and waste your life." Well, I had a struggle. I didn't have the energy. I didn't feel the desire to go and read my Bible. But I finally did it. God gave me the victory. And I want to tell you, it was one of those wonderful, moving spiritual moments I have had for this year. Because I surrendered to God. I did not miss the opportunity to grow and to become like Jesus. The disciples missed it. Don't miss it yourself. I was in Houston recently, and I stayed with the pastor who invited me. His wife told me this story. She said her brother grew up in the church, but he drifted away from God. She talked to him many, many times, but nothing is happening. It doesn't go anywhere. But one day, she felt compelled to do it. And she went to him. She actually felt like it's going to be a waste of time. She had done it 100 times. She's not interested. But that day, she went and did it anyway. His heart was tender and open. She said to him, I want you to leave your bitterness, your anger, your problems behind you, and start fresh with God. He started to cry. They both cried. And she said the next few months, he went through a radical transformation. Radical change happened to him. He really surrendered to God. He replaced his friends with other friends. He started to read the Word of God, started to pray, started to go to church. She said, this happened in October, just a few weeks prior to this. She invited them over to her house with her family. They were eating lunch. They have just come back from church. And then they went for a walk, came back in the evening. He said to everybody who was there, he said, I have not had peace for the last 20 years. But today, for the first time, I experience it. He said, God got inside of me and gave me his joy, his peace. He said, today is the best day of my life. The second day, on Sunday morning, he rode his motorcycle to work. And he was hit by a car and killed. His sister grieves over his death. But she said, what would have happened if I did not take the chance to talk to him? And what would have happened if he did not surrender to God? You know, just like what happened in Gethsemane, there is a movement of the Spirit, and we have to go with that movement in order to grow in character and in order to be like Jesus. The other thing that I glean from this text is that also we must not miss the opportunity to minister to Jesus and the others who represent Jesus. You know, in the scripture we read, open with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this. Luke 4:16. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Jesus talking. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. All his life, Jesus lived by this. All of his life, he was like a vital current, as we read in Desire of Ages, diffusing life, joy, and hope everywhere he went. But there was one time that he needed some people to comfort him, and they failed in doing this. That was the only time he needed somebody to be there with him. He needed somebody to wipe that blood that was falling on him. He needed somebody to pray with him, to comfort him. But they didn't do it. You know, those three disciples became major leaders in the church. They traveled all over the world. They gave of their lives to the Lord. But there is one thing they will never be able to say that I was there for Jesus when he needed me. You know, I like to suggest to you that sometimes we are not there when some people need us. In our local church, maybe a year ago, we had a work bee. And I went to this work bee and I saw this man crying. I went and sat beside him, put my arm around him, and I said, "What's happening?" He told me that his wife died from breast cancer a few months earlier. And then he just broke down. He said, "My wife loved to go to church activities, and I just wanted to stay home." He said, "She loved to go out to dinner. I wanted to save money." She said, "She loved to go for walks. I wanted to stay home and watch television." And then he said, "I wish I could go back again in time and redo my life over, but that's impossible." I think sometimes, especially as pastors, some of the people we ignore the most are the people we love the most. I have two children, a boy and a girl, and my son is very much into basketball. He was in junior high. He came to me one day. He said, "Dad, would you like to come and play basketball with me?" I said, "Jason, give me 5 minutes and I will be with you." Half an hour later, came back again and said, "Dad, I'm waiting for you." I said, "You give me 5 minutes and I will be with you." Half an hour later, "Dad, where are you?" I said, "Just give me 5 minutes. The following day, came to me and said, "Dad, can we play basketball?" And I said to him, "You just give me 5 minutes. I'm in this project. I will finish it and I will be with you." Half an hour later, he came back. He didn't come to me. He went to his mother. He said to her, "My dad is more interested in his work than in me." I want to tell you, that cut through my heart like a knife. I decided to do some serious changes in my life. So I decided I'm going to take my two children on a date every week. I'm going to take them out to dinner. I will do whatever they wanted me to do. I will devote an afternoon for each one of them. This at the beginning was great because all what they wanted to do was go to Taco Bell and to the park. But as they grow up, they wanted to go to exotic restaurants and to the mall. But it was worth it. You know, I want you to look into the eyes of your children and tell them how much you love them. Someday they will be out of your house. What are they going to say about you? Was my dad or my mother more interested in their work or in me? And I'm ashamed to tell you, my wife had the same conversation with me one day. She said to me one day that you are the pastor to everyone in the church except me. That cut deep inside of me. She said, "We have 500-600 people, and you ask them how they are doing spiritually, but you don't come to me and do the same." I missed the opportunity to minister to my wife. And I had again to do some serious changes to correct that. I had to spend more time with her. I have to pray with her. Now, especially I want to tell the men this. I want to tell you, if you pray with your wife, if you share your heart with her, she will love you to death. Started to go out on dates. My work is important, but my family is more important than that. How are you doing in ministry to your family? How are you doing in ministry to the people around you? Sometimes this opportunity comes and it goes. You don't want to sleep through it like the disciples did. And they wasted the opportunity of a lifetime. I was going to go to Minnesota to speak at a convention over there. And a lady from this area and knew I was going to go over there. She came to me and she said, "My son is in the hospital and I would like you to visit with him." I did not like that. My schedule is so tight. I leave on the last plane that will get me over there. I will preach on Friday night, 4 or 5 times on Sabbath, and then fly back on Sunday morning on the first flight. I said to her, "I will do my best." She said, "Please, you have to visit my son." So I went. I forgot about her son. I did my seminar. One of the pastors invited me to speak to the elders at 9 o'clock at night. We were done. And I heard God saying to me, "I would like you to go and visit this guy." I said, "Lord, you must have the wrong person here. I don't have the time. I am dead tired. It's 9 o'clock. By the time I get to the hospital, it will be 10 o'clock. I'm not going to do this." So I go to bed, and this voice is ringing in my ears, "You have to go and visit this guy." I got angry with this lady who asked me to go over there. I said, "I don't want to do this." I couldn't resist it. And I'm glad I didn't. I don't want to be like the disciples who slept through the most important event in the life of Jesus. So I got up. I said to the pastor, I woke him up too. I said, "We have to go and visit this guy." He said, "Do we have to?" Well, I said, "God is asking us to do it. There's nothing we can do about it." So we went. We talked to him. He was estranged from his wife, so we called his wife. By probably midnight, she arrived at the hospital. We talked to them. We shared God's love with them. We prayed with them. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, we felt like there was a breakthrough in their lives. They embraced each other. They started crying and asking for forgiveness from each other and from God. I really felt good at that moment. It didn't matter to me that I did not sleep that night. I went maybe for 2 hours of sleep, and then the pastor took me to the airport. On Monday afternoon, he called me. He said, "This morning, this guy died. But he died in the Lord. He died hugging his wife. I would never have forgiven myself if I did not go and minister to that guy." So important to be available in God's hand, and God will use you to touch the life of other people. We see the disciples missing their opportunity to grow in character. We see the disciples missing their opportunity to minister to Jesus and the Jesus and others. But also, we see them missing their opportunity to become the children of God. You know, any one of us really can strike a match or light a candle or set fire for bonfire, but not one of us and not all of us put together can control the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that day, the Holy Spirit was there. He was moving, and his hot breath was felt everywhere. And the disciples slept through all of that. They missed that molten moment, that golden opportunity that never came back again. Think about it. Have you ever done anything like that? They say that the devil one day had a big conference, and all of his emissaries from all over the world came. And the object was, what are we going to do to ruin the people on the planet Earth? And one of them stood up and he said, I will go tell them there is no God. And he said to him, you can't go. Nobody will believe you because there is a bit of God in all of us. Another one stood up and he said, I will go tell them there is no hell. And I said, it will never work because they all know that good will eventually triumph over evil. And then after many, many of them, one of them stood up and he said, I will go tell them to wait. There is no hurry. And he said, you are the one to go. And that have been what a lot of us do, and that is we wait. But sometimes if you wait, it might be too long. It might never come back. One day, I was baptizing a woman with her two children. It was a wonderful time. Absolutely, all of us felt the presence of God at that place. And as you know, when you baptize somebody, at the end you say, is there someone out there who would like to be baptized and follow Jesus? I said this and a hand went up. I looked at that young man and I said, you know, this is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. You will never regret this. You are in for a wonderful and rewarding life. Why don't you meet me at the end and we will talk about it? He said, what about now? I looked at this young man and I said, well, that's not what we do in our custom. He said, I grew up in the church. I drifted away. But for the last few weeks, my friend, and he pointed to a guy next to him, have been bringing me over here. And I really would like to be baptized today. I feel God is moving. Well, I reflected on the 3 years of seminary studies. Nobody taught me anything about what to do in a case like that. I reflected on my doctoral degree. I don't remember anybody talking about this. So I looked at this young man and I said, meet me in the back. And then I called all of my elders and I said, meet me in the back. I looked at my wife, Denise, and I said, why don't you come and lead the song service? So I went to the back, and guess what? I found two people wanting to be baptized that day. So I said to them, you wait here. And I took the elders inside. I was dripping with water from the three baptisms I already had. And I said, I don't know what to do. One elder said, we all are going to kneel down and pray. 13 people plus me praying that day. Half an hour later, we got up. My wife was out of songs and out of her mind. She does not know what to do. So one individual said, we're going to read the baptismal vows for them. If they say yes, we're going to baptize them today. We read the baptismal vow. That's another 20 minutes. They said yes. We took them out and baptized both of them. This happened in October. Both men continued to come to church. Their testimony was, we love it here. We feel God's presence here. They continued to study. On the eve of Thanksgiving night, one of them went for a walk. A car slid on the snow, hit him and killed him. I want to tell you, I would never have forgiven myself if I did not do the baptism that day. It wasn't me. It was God moving that day. And He was moving in a very powerful way. Here's what I believe. God is in this place today. And we feel His hot breath too today. We feel His presence. My appeal to you is never to miss an opportunity. I don't know what constitutes a molten moment for you. But I believe this is a molten moment. It's one of them. If it is your desire to say, Lord, I love you more than anything else. I want to be more committed to you than ever before. I want you to stand up. And I want you to come to the front. Take the hymnal in front of you and let's sing 309, I Surrender All. And come to the front to show Jesus that you will be attentive to His voice, attentive to His prompting and leading, no matter what. Let's sing the first stanzas. In total and complete surrender to the God of the universe who promised to be with us, and He is here with us today. Time to come to the front. It's between you and God. It's saying, Lord, I will always be attentive to your voice, and I will always act on when you ask me to do. Let's come to the front as we sing the last verse of this.
Oh,
in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord. It's not tomorrow, it's not next year. Today is the day of salvation. Our Father in heaven, we felt your presence today. We felt your movement today. And I pray that we will always be attentive to you. Lord, our tendency is like the disciples, to go to sleep and miss the opportunity of a lifetime. But I pray that you will speak to our hearts. You will enable us to want to grow in character, to become like you, to want to minister to others, and to want to become your beloved children. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.